And Rabbi Sherman, in his classic Horatius, that was done in 6 volumes, together with Rabbi Zlotowitz, has an essay that he bases on a shiur by Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he entitles it, Yaakov Rachel and Leah. And he says, there are very few places in the Chumash that challenge us with as much difficulty as the relationship we read about with Yaakov together with Rachel and Leah. He says, we read the story and we attempt to reconcile it with the principles of Emunah, of faith, that the Avos and the Imos were on a different plane than the rest of us. Yaakov was the Bechir of Ba'avos, the chosen one. He was the ideal human being, we're told, whose wishes were motivated only by MS. Then he says, we have a story telling us that Yaakov was attracted to Rachel for her beauty, and somehow Leah lacked an element of beauty, and Yaakov, whatever reason, seemed not to overlook it. And we know that even after Rachel dies, Yaakov takes Bilhah's tent or bed, and he makes her the substitute wife, right? Whereas we know that half of Yaakov's children come from Leah. And Rabbi Sherman says, when you attempt to translate what's happening, you look things simplicity straightforward. And he says, and we try to juxtapose that with the reality we know of marriages, where there's resentment, where there's jealousy between children, between wives and sisters-in-law. And he said, we make the mistake of taking the life experiences we see in our world and we interpolate that into the Parsha, trying to understand it. He says, we don't have a problem realizing that Yaakov's ladder, seeing angels going up into heaven, 70 steps, 52, etc., and ad infinitum, we don't have a problem saying, oh, that is on a higher level. We really can't relate to it. He says, so if the lives of our forefathers and mothers, right, were on that level, what makes us think that any of the so-called mundane activities described were not also on such a higher level? And he says, Rav Aaron Cutler wrote that this Parsha Vayetze, he says, is dangerous in chinuch, in teaching, because how it's so easy to come to the notion that, if nothing else, the Avos and the Imos had two personas, one of Kedusha and one of more normalcy. Right. And he says, wrong, wrong. He says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Yaakov Avinu to be the one to have 12 Shvatim, that set up what we'll call the 12 anchors to the Jewish nation. And he says, we know that there's a Medrash that says that when Yaakov took the stone, The Medrash says only Yaakov could have 12 stones join because Avram had Yitzchak Yishmael, Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav, and only Yaakov, right, ended up only having wives with his special wives, per se, and they were all Kaddosh. You didn't get things like B'nai Keturah, like with Avram, and you didn't get Esav and all his generals and henchmen out of Yaakov. He says, God was to say of Yaakov's descendants, V'amech kulam tzadikim in Yeshaya. Every one of the nation has a degree of righteousness. Klal Yisrael may have sinners among them, but the nature, the DNA, is not sinful. We are able to make mistakes, but we are not prone to mistakes. Rishoyim, like Lavan, were only too glad to live a life of mistake. Yaakov realized that his task was to father 12 perfect sons. And it says, Mitoy shel Yaakov Avinu Shlema. All of the offspring of Yaakov Avinu were in fact perfect. If that was perfect, it says, he realized, and that was his task in life, he had to make special, special efforts to be able to do this. Yaakov did not get married at age 40, the way Esav did, and who emulated Yitzchak. And we would think that even 40 means waiting a long time to prepare. But he said, Yaakov was 63 years old when he got the brachas from Yitzchak. And only then did his father say, okay, now it's time to find your mate. And even then, at age 63, he went for 14 years to learn. So he only ends up coming to Lavan's house at age 77. He realized, whatever it means, that he had to strive at a certain level to reach a certain level of kedusha, of preparedness, holy preparedness, before he would begin the task of
building a
nation, right? And right, Sherman says, how much preparation did it need? He says, don't ask me and don't ask you. We have no idea. But when he got to Lavan's house, and he was 77 years old, he was still prepared to wait 7 years for Rachel. Age 84, he's going to start having a family. Right? And he said, we're told that the days went quickly. What does it mean, they went quickly? If you're longing to marry somebody, right, every day is sort of an agony, etc. He said, no. He says, Yaakov Avinu realized that getting married was only a means to creating the Shiftei Ka, to creating the tribes that would carry on Hashem's ways. Therefore, it went quickly because he was continuously engaged in the same task that he had been for the previous years. So from age 78 to 84, he came with the same vigor doing whatever he did, doing what Lavan asked him to do. Who was that? Doing what Lavan wanted him to do.
He was focused.
And also, right, and continuing on. He says that he had to deal with Lavan, and I guess he knew he would have to prepare to deal with this scoundrel, if that's probably too nice a word for him, right?
And also with Esav.
Right. Excuse me. And, right? It says that he was totally engaged in this pursuit. And then, right, it says age 84 comes. He's finished his 7 years. And he quotes a pasuk, which he says, again, we can look at first glance with disdain. He says to Lavan, 7 years are over. Hava li es ishti. Deliver to me my wife, kimola yomai, because my term is fulfilled, v'avaya aleha, and now I can live with her. He says, wouldn't we expect something more refined in the way of speaking? But he says, no. He says, you're dealing with a person who was talking on a heavenly plane. He didn't view living with his wife as something to be, I would say, pleasureful primarily. It was his means of beginning. He now knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help him to have children. Rashi says, even a boor like Esav, right, probably would have not tried to talk like that, right? The lustful murderer and adulterer Esav might have tried to use more refined language. Yaakov never thought in any terms of a need for a physical companionship, of needing a wife, so to speak, for his own personal benefit. If so, there's no way he would have waited till age 84 before he would take a wife. Yaakov existed for the mission, 12 Shvatim, and the fulfillment of Hashem's purpose. The people who were going to get the Torah had to be perfectly righteous offspring. The inner strength to endure and survive exiles had to be put into the DNA of the people. These were the visions and goals that preoccupied Yaakov from the day he was old enough to know what the Bechorah meant to today, that day. To become equal required more than half of his lifetime in preparation. When he was ready, there's no need to delay. Now that I realize I'm on the level of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me on, let's go. He says, the same way Avram got up early in the morning with zeal, right, to do the mitzvah of the Akedah, he said, now I have a mitzvah, let me do this with zeal. Let me talk with zeal. Yaakov never wasted a moment, not before he got to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, not in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. He didn't let the night, the cold, the heat, fatigue deter him, whether learning, whether watching Lavan's sheep. There was not a moment of idleness, right? But Yaakov, for whatever reason, thought that Rachel was destined to be maybe his only wife. Although we read a medrash yesterday, which argues and says he knew he was going to have four wives. Okay, but let's assume, and I don't know how you do it, but we assume for whatever reason he thought at least Esther would be the prime wife. Maybe he thought he'd have, right? Maybe Rachel. Maybe he thought he'd have nine kids with Rachel and one each from the others. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who planned the world, okay, for whatever reason, destined Yaakov to marry Leah too. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Lavan's greed and lack of scruples, right, to get Yaakov to marry Leah. But it was Hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, that made it happen, and that's why it succeeded. That's why she could have half the tribes of Klal Yisrael. That is why she could be Yaakov's mate in Moras HaMachpelah. He says, Yaakov's preoccupation on a high level on the first night he was married put him in a position that he could ignore that the lady he was with was not Rachel but Leah. He was of such a spiritual caliber that he was in the higher elements. He was doing the mitzvah of creating Shvatim. Had he had an element of physical desire, nobody could have fooled him. But his purpose, and the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to fulfill and destined him to fulfill, was to produce the 12 tribes. Right? And then it mattered not, so to speak, somehow what he thought would happen from what did happen. And Ab Sherman says that the above that we've just mentioned was a lecture that Harav Aaron Cutler gave to the Mechanchim, the teachers in Torah Mesorah, giving them a lesson how to teach this narrative. I don't think teaching it to grade 3 and grade 4 kids, but I'm gathering what he was saying was that even in yeshivas, right, when kids are mature, they've got to relearn the story. And unlike many yeshivas today who say, okay, read the Chumash on your own, it would seem that he felt this was an important shiur to be given in Emunah and how to learn Chumash to students.
Different twist.
Yeah. For whatever reason, we find that he could only have Rachel and Leah as his wives together while he was in Chutz La'aretz, right? We know that when he finally left Lavan, there's the story of her stealing the Avodah Zarah of Lavan, hiding them, etc., and Yaakov uttering that fact that whoever stole the Avodah Zarah would die, and that's, we say, is why she died when she gave birth to Binyamin. But we also know, and it's written elsewhere, that in Eretz Yisroel, in the land of perfection, he could not be married to two women.
Two sisters.
Two sisters, right. I'm sorry. Thank you. Right? It says that Yaakov had, we know, two names. Yaakov, given, right, by either his parents or by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at his birth, and later on Yisroel, that you fought with angels and you won, you overcame, right? Rachel and Leah were meant as a wife for one aspect. Rachel, it says, was the wife that was Yaakov, and Leah, for whatever reason, is the wife of Yisroel, of the higher level. Just trying to find where. It says, Kol atzma shel Yaakov loy ovad elo bishvil Rachel. Yaakov, only an entire being, was to work to marry Rachel. She was Yaakov's wife, not Yisroel's. It says, because it was Yaakov's responsibility to make the material universe holy, to take materiality and turn it exclusively into divine tools, that was the ability that Rachel had. Rachel was this, we know, most gorgeous of women, with the most gorgeous of hearts, and with the most gorgeous of personalities. Maybe, right? So, it says, he was attracted by, yes, maybe her natural beauty, but he realized her true beauty was in transforming that which would be mundane into holy. He quotes that she is the Alma de Isgaliosa. She is the wife in the revealed world, and she is the Akeres Abayis, the primary wife. And we know that's what he said. I've worked for Rachel.
First one.
Right. But Leah, once I guess he had accomplished this mission, had a loftier status. Once he had already conquered man and the Sar Shel Esav, angel, right, the angel of Esav, right? Leah was the perfect complement to him. Leah, the wife of Israel, she becomes the primary companion, not only in the hidden holiness of Moaris HaMachbela, right? Somehow, she is the helpmate that can take a Yaakov Avinu, who has basically transformed materiality into holiness, and move it up the ladder of holiness. She had this ability. We know that she misbalo, she cried that she should not have to marry Esav. She only wanted to marry a tzaddik, right? And Leah, it seems, was the one we know she gave the name Yehuda. She is the first one to thank the Rabboni Shel Olam, right? When she had her fourth son, she said, oh, it should have been three each. I got more. And she said, now I'm going to praise Hashem, but hold on. I have greater realization. Not only should I praise Hashem for the fourth, But I realize now in retrospect how special 3-2-1 and everything else the Kadosh Baruch Hu did for me. She had this ability, as we say, to transcend what we see and to see the true spirituality. And we're told this is what really happened. And this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted and designed the Klal Yisroel to be formed through the greatness of both Rachel and Leah. And the narrative goes through what happened, but again, as he says, you've got to think of it in this higher level. Okay.